Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We're back. Sports Day WA for Nutrien Ag Solutions, proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA and Kia, the Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year. Don't change me out. Don't change
a thing for me. Well, it's getting to a busy time when it comes to tennis. We've got Roland Garros, the French Open, only a week or two away. And, of course, that rolls into Wimbledon. And a man that's going to be very busy is our very own tennis expert here at SEN in Brett Phillips. And when we had our production meeting this morning, myself and Jimmy, and we discussed what we should chase on Sports Day WA, I said, Jimmy, let's get Brett on. Because the news came in overnight that Rafael Nadal, one of the greatest of all time, made a winning return to the court in the Barcelona Open, which is his home open in some ways. 37 years of age. He's only playing his second tournament in 15 months. And I said, let's have a chat about what could possibly happen going forward ahead of the French Open. Brett Phillips, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Peter. Always good to chat to you. And I've got to tell you, we should never write off the champions in sport. And we do it at our own peril. And who knows how much longer Rafa's going to play for. He keeps sort of indicating that this is the final road. And, you know, it's been such a battle to get to the start line, hasn't it? I mean, those couple of matches in Brisbane, had that huge match against Jordan Thompson where he got himself injured again. You know, Tomo won that in three up at Pat Rafter Arena to start the year. And then obviously he's pulled out of a series of tournaments since then, including the Australian Open. But yeah, I set the alarm, got up especially to watch Nadal, Barcelona. I mean, this is a tournament he's won 12 times. You could not find an empty seat on court. The fans there are, you know, thinking, well, this could be the final swan song. His level, I've got to say, Pete, was magnificent. And really the only issue for Rafa has been his ability to serve and be confident about serving in the last couple of months. While he's been playing a lot of practice sets and striking the ball pretty well, it's because he's had that, you know, hip abdominal continuous issue that hasn't allowed him to feel confident on serve. I mean, clay is the one surface where you don't necessarily need your serve to be absolutely, you know, 120%. And look, he was rolling them in pretty well. And then when it got to the grand battle, you know, who's better on the clay? No one. Absolutely no one. I mean, you know, Flavio Cabolli is a emerging young Italian who just had a look of despair on his face for two sets. Rafa just wore him down, that beautiful top spin. He was on top of the ground. He was moving well, striking the ball extremely cleanly. And, you know, his 475th win on clay in his career. No one will ever get near that. He's only lost on clay 45 times. And, you know, he's got Alex De Minaur next, which is around about midnight tonight. So let's see how he backs up the next day. It'll be a must-watch. If he was going to play Roland Garros for one last time, he knew, like all of us, that he needed some sort of lead-in. And he can't just go into Roland Garros cold. Obviously, there's Madrid next week, there's Rome, and then leading to Paris at the end of May. So, yeah, we'll find out where he sits. And he's so determined to go out on his terms on court, which, you know, Roger Federer wasn't afforded that luxury, bar a little cameo at the Laver Cup a couple of years ago. And, yeah, let's hope we see him, you know, go out somewhere close to the top.
Unbelievable. It is a great story. And he's won the French Open 14 times. The last time was in 2022. And, of course, the last 2 years have been plagued by injury. You make a good point. It depends how he comes up after playing his first match against Alex de Minaur, who fancies himself a bit on clay, doesn't he, the Aussie?
Yeah, and he's come off a really good Monte Carlo last week. I mean, it's the first time Alex had made a really good run, making a quarterfinal at a Masters 1000 on clay. So that was really encouraging. And obviously, he's had a terrific year, de Minaur. He's trying to, he sort of snuck into the top 10. He's just out at the moment. So he's trying to hold his ground there. And, you know, in the points race for Turin for the ATP finals at the end of the year, I think he's in sixth place at the moment. So, you know, that's where he wants to be. He wants to be at the ATP finals, come the year's end for the best eight. And he's just got to, you know, keep being consistent. His game has improved significantly, de Minaur, and we know he's a handful for anyone. I mean, Djokovic, look, he ran him, 7-5, 6-4 in Monte Carlo, and it was a bit of an error-ridden match, both players, but, you know, Djokovic was hunched over more often than not with those rallies you've got to play against de Minaur, having to play so many balls. So, look, he'll certainly put a lot of pressure on Rafa. He's beaten Rafa before. It'd be a really good contest to see where both are at, because de Minaur will fancy himself, as the field is now fancying themselves, Pete, against Novak Djokovic. They believe he is as vulnerable as he ever has been, because he's not playing a lot, about to turn 37, and there are just some signs that maybe there's not quite the miles and the legs that Djokovic has normally had. So it's a great time in men's tennis. It really is. The two warriors hanging on, trying to get more glory, and that pack who now are ready to go in for the kill.
It's interesting. We love champions, certainly ones that have been with us for a long time. We've seen it. You know, Tiger Woods at the US Masters in golf last week, even they finished at 16 over, made the record at the US Masters of getting and beating the cut and getting into the weekend, and the galleries were massive around Tiger Woods. And we had Glater here at the Margaret River Pro, the surfing champion, who bowed out just the other day. And there were huge crowds down in the southwest of Western Australia to cheer the 52-year-old on. And it's the same with Rafa. If he is fit and plays at Roland Garros, the tournament gets underway on May the 20th. They'll be hanging from the rafters in his matches, won't they?
Unbelievable. Yeah, and I think back to the French last year, and he wasn't there, and it was just electric. You add Rafa into the mix, and tell me an athlete that's had a statue put up, a decade ago at a venue where he's dominated and he hasn't even retired. So that's how big he's been at Roland Garros. And look, that would be the perfect swan song. I just get the feeling, I mean, Nadal won't declare when it's going to be all over. He won't put a definitive date. I mean, he certainly indicated that he wants to play at least one more Roland Garros. He's indicated he'd love to play the Olympics. You know, maybe him and Alcaraz playing doubles together for Spain. And he hasn't ruled out going on next year. But, I mean, the more of these, you know, delays and time away from the court, I think he knows the clock is absolutely ticking. He is so determined to go out as an on-court athlete rather than limp out of the sport injured. And look, if he moves the way he did last night, he could do some real damage in this clay court season. But you just feel like he's one movement, one little movement away from another, you know, stint on the sideline. So we sort of watch on nervously because we want him to finish on a high. But that body, it's been through a fair bit.
And just finally, on Novak Djokovic, you brought him up, the world number one at the moment. You're saying he's not playing as many tournaments and he doesn't seem to have the running in the legs that he used to have. But also, he's getting a bit flustered, isn't he? Mentally, certain aspects when he's playing in matches are getting to him. And we just saw it in the previous tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a bit going on, through his mind, I'm sure. I mean, he's just obviously parted with Goran Ivanisevic, his coach, and, you know, Nenad Simonjevic, a fellow Serbian, is sort of coaching in the short term. I don't think that's going to be a long-term relationship. But who now comes and coaches Djokovic at 37 years of age, where he might have, you know, a 12 to 18-month window to still inflict some damage at the majors? Because for him now, it's all about the majors. The rest, don't matter as much. He does want to perform at the Olympics. He'd love an Olympic gold medal just to round out the resume. But look, there certainly are signs that, he's not going to be the dominant figure. And no one can go on forever. I mean, he's been superhuman in a lot of ways after a flaky start to his career. But at some stage, he's going to you know, certainly dropped his level. It's a fascinating time, and he's not playing that much, so he needs to be absolutely cherry ripe, and he's battling a little bit. But you know, as I say, you can't write off the champions. Nadal, Djokovic, they love these young guns coming at them, and they still want to prove they are the king of the mountain. So it's a great sort of collision course in men's tennis at the moment, the younger generation and, you know, the champions of the sport.
Looking forward to it. Brett, thanks very much for spending a few moments with us here on Sports Day WA. Always love talking tennis with you. And on the back end of the return of Rafael Nadal, the tennis headlines don't get any bigger than that. Thanks for your time.
Pleasure, Pete. Talk soon.
Good on you, Brett Phillips. Always love talking tennis with the master. And he does such a great job for the SEN network and also works for the Nine network when the big majors come around. Okay, Cam's been on the text machine regarding senior sports people that are still mastering their art at the elite level. He's been on the text line at 0487 736 736. Hi, Pete. Not too sure of his actual age, but I'm pretty sure Jimmy Anderson, the England swing bowler, is in his 40s and still playing. He certainly is, Jimmy Anderson. He's actually one of the, I think I'm just trying to actually work out what his age is, but I think he's about 41, 42. Let me just double check Cam to see exactly what his age is. But I just saw him recently in the series against India, and he was exceptionally good. What's it? 41. Okay, I've just been told. I was just trying to Google it while I was on air, but Jimmy has quickly jumped on and told me 41 years of age. So there you go. All right, we move on. And it was interesting today that Paul Marsh, who's going to take a bit of a break, he's the head of the AFL Players Association, and he was asked the question about Jeremy Finlayson's suspension at Port Adelaide and the fact that Alistair Clarkson, the coach of the North Melbourne Football Club, was in some ways given a leaner sentence, suspended game sentence and a fine for what seemed to be a pretty similar slur when it came to an opposition player. This is what Paul Marsh says regarding the player v. the coach.
Well, I just think, and this has probably become a bit of a tipping point, but I think we've seen issues in, you know, over the last few years where I don't really want to get into the specifics. And this wasn't a crack at Alistair Clarkson. I just want to say this. I think it's almost like it feels to us as though there are two sets of rules at times with players and officials, and it really just prompts a discussion around the code of conduct and this particular clause around conduct unbecoming is open-ended. The AFL can make it up, you know, as they're going along here, and we just feel as though there needs to be more consistency. So, I mean, that's really what that point was, and I made the point directly to the AFL, and I think that'll be a discussion that we have, you know, over the coming weeks. But, you know, I think everyone should know in advance what the rules are and how they're going to be applied.
It's interesting also that Jeremy Finlayson, who is, of course, serving that 3-match suspension from Port Adelaide for that homophobic slur, was actually featured on his wife's podcast today. And this is what he had to say.
You're offensive? Something that's you off?
Oh, my offensive is me off that I got 3-week suspension. that's it. That's tipped me over the edge. That's about it.
There he is on his wife's podcast. Interesting, isn't it? It's coming up 21 to 6. You can join us anytime on the text machine 0487 736 736. We're here for Toolmart, the complete tool centre serving WA for over 45 years. And also Sports Day is brought to you for Nutrien Ag Solutions, proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA. How many people are we expecting to get to Optus Stadium on Saturday night for Derby number 58? It's 58 that we've now witnessed between West Coast and Fremantle. It is a West Coast home derby, and on the back end of that victory against Richmond, I think we're in for a pretty good game of football. Keeping our fingers crossed, it is a good game of footy, and no doubt Freo are smarting after two narrow losses. How many are we likely to get? I'll ask Peter Bocop, the Chief Operating Officer of Venues West, who joins us next here on Sports Day WA.
We're back. Sports Day WA for Nutrien Ag Solutions. Proudly celebrating 50 years of partnership with Country Football WA and Kia. The Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year.